Turn to Psalm 84 tonight. There's two verses here at the end of the psalm that are just really, really, really a blessing to us. And then we're going to leave that passage once we, I'll refer to it throughout the sermon. We'll leave the passage to go look and actually see it fulfilled in somebody's life. These two verses fulfilled in somebody's life. Psalm 84, verses 11 and 12. The verse before is verse 10 where David says, a day in thy courts is better than a thousand. I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than to dwell in the tents of wickedness. That's quite a, that tell you something. There must be really something to that house. And then he says, for the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. O Lord of hosts, blessed is the man that trusteth in thee. And that's not gender specific. Blessed is the man, meaning other, you know, not a dog or a horse. the man or the man woman. But O Lord of hosts, blessed is the man that trusteth in thee. Now look at verse 11 again, right there at the end of it. No good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. So let's go to the Lord in prayer, and then let's see what he has for us in this passage of Scripture. Father, we're very thankful tonight to be able to bow before you and pray. I know many have prayed already long before this service, and prayed today, and we're praying now. And again, Father, I'm thankful that this is not just something that's on a program that says sing these songs and then have somebody pray and then preach and then everybody go home. We do this, Father, because we come helplessly before your throne seeking grace and mercy. Lord, this Bible is loaded. There is so much truth in here that when we mine it for its hid treasure, we just can't seem to get beyond scratching the surface. There's so much here for us to know. Tonight I pray that you will help us to dig deep and find things, Father, that are rich, wonderful nuggets that will help us on through life. And we ask you to do it in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. So he says in Psalm 84, verses 11 and 12, blessed is the man that trusteth in thee. And he says in verse 11, no good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. Well, there's somebody in the Bible, well, there are a number of people, but there's somebody in the Bible particularly where these two verses seem to be so true, and we can look in this life and see these verses fulfilled and so well illustrated. And this person is not a man. This person's a woman. Her name is Ruth. So if you'll go back now with me to the book of Ruth, let's look at her life, some of the things in her life. And let's see Psalm 84, verses 11 and 12, fulfilled in her life. You know, one thing about Ruth is that she is a woman who did walk uprightly. She is a woman who did trust the Lord. And so in her life, we can find some of the ways in which the Lord blessed her. Some of those good things that he didn't withhold from her when she walked uprightly. And that's what we want to see tonight. And first of all, what we'd like to notice is that God blessed Ruth with a good mother-in-law. That's quite a blessing. You know, when you read about Naomi in verse 1, the thing that sticks out in your mind, if you're familiar at all with what's going on here, let me just fill you in. I think you know this well enough, so I'm just going to fill you in briefly. Naomi and her husband in Ruth chapter 1 verse 2, Elimelech, went with their two sons, Mahlon and Chilion, from Bethlehem, Judah, to the country of Moab because of a famine. And while they were there, the two boys married. One married Orpah and the other one married Ruth. Naomi's husband died, and the girls' husbands died, and she was left literally destitute. heard that there was bread back in Bethlehem, Judah, decided to go back, and her daughter-in-laws were going with her, and she really tried to persuade them not to come with her. Well, Orpah agreed not to go, but Ruth said, there's no way. I mean, you see it here in Ruth chapter 1, verses 16 and 17. Ruth said, entreat me not to leave thee or to return from following after thee. For whither thou goest, I will go, and where thou lodgest, I will lodge. Thy people shall be my people, and thy God my God. Where thou diest, will I die, and there will I be buried. The Lord do so to me, and more also, if aught but death part thee and me. When Naomi saw that Ruth was steadfastly minded to go with her, then she left speaking unto her, and Ruth went with her. But when Naomi got back to Bethlehem, Judah, and all the people said, oh, is this Naomi? She said, don't call me Naomi, which means praise or pleasant. She said, call me Mara, which means bitter. And she was very bitter when she got back. As the story unfolds, Ruth gleans, as poor people did, as widows did, as fatherless did. She gleaned in the fields behind the barley and wheat harvests. And she was gleaning in the field of a man named Boaz. We'll look at some of that tonight. Boaz was a kinsman. And while gleaning in his fields, she was able to stay with his maidens the entire time of harvest. And then she presented herself to Boaz as available for him to marry. And he agreed to redeem her land and to marry her so that her husband could raise up seed or an inheritance. This would be beneficial to Naomi, and it would be beneficial to the family name. And so he did. And they had a son, and that son became the great-grandfather of David. So it's a remarkable story. And I just wanted to give you that brief overview in case you're not completely familiar with all that goes on with Ruth. But so when we look at Psalm 84, verses 11 and 12, we see that in Ruth's life, we find, first of all, that God blessed Ruth with a good mother-in-law. When you see her in Ruth chapter 1, she's not at her best. She's not at her best. She's very bitter. She's a widow, and her new daughter-in-laws are widows because her sons have died. Listen, anybody in this room would be in the same case of misery that this woman was in. Sometimes when we preach these texts, we may make light of Naomi's circumstances, but tonight I don't believe anybody here would. In Ruth chapter 1, when we see Naomi, you know what we're seeing? We're seeing a good person at one of the worst times in her life. And bad times will bring out some pretty bitter experiences in people's lives. But think of this. She obviously, I'm talking about Naomi, obviously had a good relationship with the Lord for Ruth to follow her. Ruth was giving up her own gods, her own mother and father, her own culture, her own country to follow Naomi back. And she said, thy God, my God. Well, there was obviously something about Naomi and something about the relationship that Naomi had with God that Ruth said, what you've got, even in your worst day, better than what I've got here, I'm going with you. Well, I'm going to tell you something. That's a good mother-in-law. Through Naomi, Ruth learned to trust in the Lord in order for her to follow her. You know that's the case. But here's the point. When Naomi got bitter, Ruth might have considered Naomi's not a good thing. My mother-in-law is not a good person. She may have considered that. I mean, you wouldn't have heard so many mother-in-law jokes if... if there wasn't a problem with mothers-in-law, okay? But you know something? Ruth didn't consider that Naomi wasn't a good thing. She was good. If nothing else, Naomi gave Ruth some really good counsel, and Ruth was a person who needed some good counsel. Evidently, she was young, and now she's without her husband. And look at some of these things that Naomi did for her. Look in chapter 2. Look at chapter 2. When Ruth comes back and says that she has been gleaning in the field of Boaz, and that he has basically made provision for her to continue to glean among his harvesters, his laborers and maidens, all the way through the harvest, then Naomi says to Ruth in Ruth chapter 2, verse 22, Naomi said unto Ruth, her daughter-in-law, "It is good, my daughter, that thou go out with his maidens, that they meet thee not in any other field." You know, that's really good counsel. Naomi said to Ruth, look, when you go out, you just stay with those folks. You might actually, on your way to the next field that you're going to glean, you might actually see something that looks better than where you're going. Don't bother with that. Stay with them. That's really, really good counsel. In chapter 3, look at verses 1 through 5, Naomi, her mother-in-law, said unto her, "My daughter, shall I not seek rest for thee, that it might be well with thee? And now is not Boaz of our kindred, with whose maidens thou wast? Behold, he went with barley tonight in the threshing floor. Wash thyself therefore, and anoint thee, and put thy raiment upon thee, and get thee down to the floor. But make not thyself known unto the man until he have done eating and drinking. And it shall be, when he lieth down, that thou shalt mark the place where he shall lie, and thou shalt go in and uncover his feet and lay thee down. And he will tell thee what thou shalt do." And she said unto her, "All that thou sayest unto me, I will do." Isn't that remarkable? What a relationship that Ruth had with her mother-in-law. Listen, Ruth wouldn't have known the customary way for a woman to make herself known, certainly in Ruth's case, as a widow, to a near kinsman, that she desired marriage if the man would have her. But Naomi knew how to do that. She gave her very specific instructions and said, go just this way that I'm telling you. And I love what it says. "All that thou sayest unto me, I will do." What a tremendous relationship Ruth and Naomi must have had. Let me tell you something. Naomi was good for Ruth. That was a tremendous provision for her. Ruth needed that counsel. Look in chapter 3 at verse 18. After she's gone through this, and then Boaz sends her out with some barley, he just basically says, look, I'm not the nearest kinsman. There's another guy here, and we better check, see how this thing all falls out. And I've got to make sure that he doesn't want to redeem the land and marry you. It's his right. It's his right. So when Ruth comes back to tell Naomi this, look in verse 18 of chapter 3. Naomi said, "Sit still, my daughter, until thou know how the matter will fall. For the man will not be in rest until he have finished the thing this day." That's great counsel. Don't you know she may have been very anxious about all that. And Ruth and Naomi just told her, hey, look, just settle down. I know the man. He will take care of this business today. You know, counsel is a good thing. And when you're young, particularly in the case of Ruth, who was without a husband, you find yourself in that situation, it is great to have somebody in your life who will give you good counsel. Let me tell you something. That's a good thing. A close family member. In this case, it was a mother-in-law. But it could be another family member. It could be a father or a mother. Or it could be a near relative. And you know, truly, because in families, you know all the good and all the bad. In families, you live with each other or you're in close enough proximity if they're a close relative, you know their dirty laundry. You know their weaknesses. You know their temperament. You know their habits. And no, you may look at those things and think, you know, my problems would be solved here if I had a husband and all I got is a widowed mother-in-law. Who heretofore has been bitter and who with her husband left this place, ran from God. No, she didn't do any of that. She said, listen, the Bible tells us in Psalm 84 that if a person will trust the Lord and walk uprightly, no good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. And so Ruth would have had to look beyond all of Naomi's faults and circumstances of life and say, you know what? This has to be a good thing. I'm walking uprightly. I'm trusting the Lord. Let me find what's good here. And if you will look at family members with those eyes, knowing their weaknesses and other things, and say, look, I'm walking uprightly. I'm trusting the Lord. So this person is good for me. That's what Naomi was to Ruth. The Bible says, all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. It doesn't mean that every event in your life is good, but that verse of Scripture is true, and it's always been true, and He says, no good thing will He withhold from them that walk uprightly. You know what I say? Go with the family God's given you and walk uprightly. That woman in your life who's given you counsel is what you need. That man in your life who's given you counsel that's a close family member, that's what you need. And good things come from that. Ruth was not only blessed with a good mother-in-law, but Ruth was also blessed with good direction. Good direction. Go back to Ruth chapter 2 and look at verse 3. Ruth knew, they didn't have anything to eat. And she knew that the custom was that a fatherless and widows could go into fields and could glean. You know what it means to glean. Right now, while I'm here preaching, there's a combine running in this field over here that's south of us. South and just a little bit of west of us. I saw it when I was driving over here this afternoon. I'll guarantee you, not every grain that was growing on the heads of that Milo is going to end up in that combine. Some of it's going to spill off. Just as the chaff is blown out of the back of that thing, they try to regulate it so it doesn't blow out of there. But there'll be some that'll fall. That combine will hit some of that, and it'll scatter off to the side. It won't all get in there. And then they've got a tractor pulling a bin next to it, and so the chute is dumping all that Milo. There's some of that's going to blow off the sides. They're going to go over there, and they're going to put it in those trucks. And when they're loading it off of that buggy and into that truck, some of that's going to spill. And when they put the top on that thing, he's going to knock a little of it off of there. And you know what a fatherless widow could do? They'd go over there and pick up every bit of that. That's what they could do. And so that's what she wants. She said, let me go out there and glean. And in the last part of verse 2, Naomi said, go, my daughter. And she went, verse 3, and came and gleaned in the field after the reapers. So they're reaping, and then some of that stuff is, you know, they're not getting it all. And her hap, we say it happened this way, like it was a chance. It happened. Her hap was to light on a part of the field belonging unto Boaz, who was of the kindred of Elimelech. She didn't know Boaz. She didn't know where that field was. She didn't have a GPS. She didn't have Siri to ask. She just went. And the Bible says, and her hap was to light on a part of the field belonging unto Boaz. I know how she got there. God directed her there. God directed her there. The Bible says, man's heart deviseth his way. That's what she did. But the Lord directeth his steps. The Bible says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not on thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths. And He did. Her hap wasn't a chance. Her hap was the direction of the Lord God. So how'd he work that out? I don't know how he does that. Man's goings are the Lord. How can a man then understand his own way? I don't know how he gets that to work out, but I'll guarantee you, when you're walking uprightly and you're trusting God, God will get you where He wants you to be. Listen, the Bible says we walk by faith and not by sight. But we're used to walking by sight and not by faith. And so we feel like we got to have it all mapped up, but you can't always see where you're going. God told Abraham, you leave Ur of the Chaldees and go where I tell you to go. And the Bible tells us he didn't know where he was going. But he followed the Lord and he got where the Lord wanted him to be. For 40 years, Moses took those Jews and they wandered all around out there in that wilderness. How'd they know where to go? Every time that ark lifted up and said, let's go, they packed everything up and they followed that cloud and there they went. And when that cloud came to rest, whether it was a pillar by fire, fire at night, or whether it was a cloud in the daytime, when that pillar stopped, said, this is where we're going to camp. And so they did. You know, God's Holy Spirit is in you, and God will lead you, but you've got to trust the Lord. You've got to walk uprightly. You know, sometimes when you're in uncertainty, you get nervous and you get anxious, and sometimes people that get there, they start going back into sin again because they're scared. You got to know something. And you see it in Ruth's life. The Lord will not withhold any good thing. That Lord whom you trust, that Lord for whom you walk uprightly, will lead you where He wants you to go. How did we end up here? I'm talking about all of us tonight. How did we end up here? How did God arrange the meeting of Benny and Preston and Marie? How did God arrange the radio broadcast when Edie called? You know, I'm just looking around. See, how did God arrange the radio broadcast when Randy heard and he shows up here, and all of y'all and all of your stories? How did God arrange a meeting between Mike Yontz and Bobby McCarty, and boom, they're all over here, and Bobby gets saved, the family gets saved. No, now he's leading singing. And there's an associate pastor. And so forth and so on. How did he do all that? I don't know how he did all that. I just know this. He did it. That's what I know. And listen. If you know that the Lord will not withhold any good thing to them that walk uprightly, and that you trust Him, listen, follow Him. That's better than making Him run interference for you. Listen, you don't need a pulling guard and a blocker to pave the way for you. You just need to follow. Ruth was blessed with a good mother-in-law. Ruth was blessed with good direction. I'll tell you something else. Ruth was blessed with good friends, with really good friends. In chapter 2, when she starts out there in the field, she has to ask, may I glean here? And whoever she asks has to show her favor. And that's exactly what happened. When Boaz shows up, he makes an inquiry of his servant who Ruth is. They say in verse 6, she's the Moabitess damsel that came back with Naomi out of the country of Moab. Verse 7, and she said, so here's what happened. Ruth said, I pray you, let me glean and gather after the reapers among the sheaves. So she came and hath continued even from the morning until now that she tarried a little in the house. Then said Boaz unto Ruth, hearest thou not, my daughter? Go not to glean in another field, neither go from hence, but abide here fast by my maidens. These are folks that took her in. And look at Boaz, how friendly he is to her. Verse 13, after some conversation we'll read, she said, let me find favor in thy sight, my Lord, still talking to Boaz, for that thou hast comforted me, and for that thou hast spoken friendly unto thine handmaid, though I be not like unto one of thine handmaidens. Look at verse 21. And when Ruth is telling her mother-in-law how all this went, Ruth the Moabitess said, he said unto me also, thou shalt keep fast by my young men until they have ended all my harvest. Look, she had those maidens for friends. You're going to see in a minute that Boaz told those young men that are harvesting out there, don't mess with her. She had a great friend in Boaz. She's a stranger. She's a Moabite. And if you know anything about your Bible, those Jews really didn't ever show much kindness to Moabites. As a matter of fact, they weren't supposed to let them into the congregation of the Lord. And here God has arranged that she'd end up with somebody over here who would take advantage of her. She ended up with Boaz. She ended up with these young men. She ended up with these maidens. You know what God will do for you when you trust Him and walk uprightly? He'll put some good friends in your life. You look around here, and I know because of the conversations that take out there in the foyer and all that, you're making good friends with folks that you've met here. Ruth didn't have a husband at this time. She was a widow. But she sure had some helpful friends. You may decide in your life, you know, my life would be a lot better if I had a wife. You may decide my life would be a whole lot better if I had a husband. I'm going to tell you something. Your life is maybe better than you think it is with the friends you have right now. Digest that. Digest that. People look at their situation and say, if I could just, well, you already have. You already have. You got some folks that are older that love you. You got some friends of your age that love you. You got some folks that are younger perhaps that love you. Listen, Ruth simply trusted that someone out there when she went would show her favor when she went out to glean in the fields. Hasn't God blessed you with some good friends? Listen, quit looking at what you want that you don't have. And start looking at what you do have with the friends that God has given you. You're overlooking some great blessings. We have to remember that when we trust the Lord and walk uprightly, no good thing will He withhold from them that walk uprightly. O Lord of hosts, blessed is the man that trusteth in Thee. We're blessed. We are blessed. Ruth was blessed. She had a good mother-in-law. You've got somebody in your family that's good. She's blessed with good direction. Boy, your God is better than GPS. Because with GPS, you got to know where you're going before you plug it in. With God, you don't have to know where you're going. You'll get there where He wants you to be. And Ruth was blessed with good friends, and I think we've been blessed with good friends. Ruth was blessed with something else. She was blessed with good protection. Look at verse 9 of chapter 2. Boaz went on to tell her, "Let thine eyes be on the field that they do reap," talking about the maidens, "and go thou after them. Have I not charged the young men that they shall not touch thee? And when thou art athirst, go unto the vessels and drink of that which the young men have drawn." We'll look at the last part of that verse in just a minute. But you know what? Boaz made sure that Ruth was protected. And when you trust in the Lord and you walk uprightly, God blesses you with protection. You want to remember that the Lord can arrange better protection for your life than anyone else in the universe. You see, we get the idea. I'm not getting ready to say anything right now that would indicate to you that you ought to be irresponsible with your life or with the life of your family. I'm not going there at all. What I'm trying to say is your insurance agent is very limited on what he or she can do. I'm not telling you not to have insurance. I'm telling you your insurance agent is limited. And here's the limitation. They've already got a contract with you. How much that they will reimburse you under certain circumstances if something goes wrong. God can make sure that the circumstances don't go wrong. The insurance agent can't do that. Your alarm company can tell you when somebody breaks into your house. God can keep them from breaking in. Your insurance agent can reimburse you with a vehicle if you have a wreck. God can keep you from having a wreck. And I bet you if I ask people to get up here right now and testify, I rather imagine there are some people tonight that could say, I was in a situation that was surely going to result in a crash and God intervened and we didn't wreck. I've got a testimony like that myself. So I'm not saying, you know, your banker can only lend you what is what your credit worthiness is. He'll probably lend you more than that, and then you won't have credit worthiness anymore. But God can give it to you, and you don't have to pay it back. You see what I'm saying? When God takes over the responsibility to offer you protection, He can do things people can't do. In Psalm 84, when we read that psalm, do you remember that it says, the Lord God is a sun and shield? That's what Psalm 84 verse 11 says. That's the kind of protection I want. I want intense light when I need light, and I want a shield when I need shielding. And God can do that. And may I tell you something? That is a good thing. No good thing will He withhold from them that walk uprightly. That doesn't mean that you're not going to go through bad situations. We've also got people here who can get up here and give testimony and say, man, I was in a horrendous wreck. And sometimes you go through the wreck and you come out and you're fully protected. Sometimes you go through the wreck and something else happens. May I tell you, when He said, listen, if you're walking uprightly and you're trusting in God, and He says, no good thing will He withhold from them that walk uprightly, you might have to wait till eternity to see all that was good about that thing that He gave you. But I guarantee you, nobody in this room and nobody that names the name of the Lord will be able to look at Him when you see the rest of the story and say, that wasn't a good thing to do. You can count on that. You can count on that. Ruth was blessed with something else too. Ruth was blessed with good provision. Look again at verse 9 in Ruth chapter 2. He says to her at the end of verse 9, he says, and when thou art athirst, go unto the vessels and drink of that which the young men have drawn. He said, you don't have to go draw your own water. Just go over there. They've already drawn it. They've already filled up the pitchers. Just go get you something to drink. Look at verse 14 of the same chapter, chapter 2. Boaz said unto her, at mealtime, come thou hither and eat of the bread and dip thy morsel in the vinegar. In other words, you don't have to bring your own peanut butter and jelly sandwich. Okay? And she sat beside the reapers, and he reached her parched corn, and she did eat and was sufficed. That's good. She had enough to eat and left. And when she was risen up to glean, Boaz commanded his young men, saying, let her glean even among the sheaves and reproach her not. See, she had been gleaning after the reapers, but he said, hey, if she gets a little close and she's gleaning among the sheaves, don't worry about it. Let her do that. And let fall also some of the handfuls of purpose for her, and leave them that she may glean them, and rebuke her not. So you get a little bit, drop some of it. So she gleaned in the field until even, and beat out that she had gleaned, and it was about an ephah of barley. Must have been a good day. That's pretty good harvest for somebody that didn't have to plant it, didn't have to pay for it, didn't have to cultivate it. All she had to do is show up at harvest time and get her some of it. That's pretty good provision. The Lord blessed Ruth's labor with sufficient barley and sufficient wheat. Look at verse 23. She kept fast by the maidens of Boaz to glean unto the end of barley harvest and of wheat harvest, and dwelt with her mother-in-law. So she was out there for a long season getting all that she needed. Now, take note of something. Take note of something. Ruth had to work for her food. God didn't just drop it out of the sky like He did that manna. God's goodness to you and God's blessing to you often involves a lot of hard work on your part. You say, well, boy, it would sure be a lot easier for me to have a lot of good fellowship with the Lord, and I could spend a lot more time reading my Bible and praying if I didn't have to work all these hours. Now, that would be a good thing, but that's not how it works. That's not how it works. Paul wrote to the Thessalonians, he said, if a man doesn't work, if he's not, don't let him eat. He blesses your labor. He blesses your labor so that you have all sufficiency in all things. You know, we get prayer requests from missionaries from time to time. We've got some prayer requests coming out of Burkina Faso. And on those prayer requests, they'll say, pray for so-and-so. I've got the name of one of the guys. I just don't want to repeat it. Pray for so-and-so that God will give him stable employment. You know how I pray for that guy? I pray, God, make him a faithful laborer. Because then I know if he is and if he goes to work each day and he's walking uprightly and trusting God, it doesn't make a difference if he gets to go to the same job every day or he has to go to different jobs every day. God will bless him with sufficiency. And that's all that really matters. You know, what happens to us sometimes is we get so tied into our careers become more important to us than the provision that comes from our career. God, you know, we're just gleaning in the field here and taking care of it and letting God bless our labor so that we have sufficiency in all things. Paul said some of us are going to be able to work and make a little extra so we have some to give to others. That's good too. That's good too. What really blessed Ruth is, though, that everybody knew she was trusting God and everybody knew that she was walking uprightly and everybody could see God's hand of provision in her life. Boy, the Lord just laid it out for her. And I feel sorry for people who are God's children who find that they are not receiving sufficient provision. You can tell what the problem is. It's one of three things. They're not trusting God, they're not walking uprightly, or they're not laboring. Amen. Now, in the end, God blessed Ruth with a husband. We're not going to go through all the detail, but what basically happened, Boaz went and got with all the elders of the city. The nearer kinsman came. He says, you want to buy the field? Yeah, I'll buy it. Well, you got to have Ruth too. Oops, I don't want her. She's that Moabite woman, right? Yep, don't want her. And so Boaz says, well, I'll take her. And they get together and she conceives and has a child. Look at Ruth chapter 4, verses 13 through 15. Ruth chapter 4, verses 13 through 15. So Boaz took Ruth. She was his wife, and when she went in, and when he went in unto her, the Lord gave her conception. I'll tell you, the Lord just blessed this, blessed everything. The Lord gave her conception, and she bare a son. And the women said unto Naomi, blessed be the Lord God, which hath not left thee this day. Talking to Naomi now. Blessed be the Lord God, which hath not left thee this day without a kinsman, that his name may be famous in Israel. And he shall be unto thee a restorer of thy life and a nourisher than old age. For thy daughter-in-law, which loveth thee, which is better to thee than seven sons, hath borne him. Oh boy, oh Ruth had quite a, I tell you, she had quite a blessing there. Naomi went out with two sons, came back and said, I came back empty. No, she came back with Ruth and they all said, she's better to you than seven sons. That's five more than you had. God bless Ruth with a husband, a child, a restorer of Naomi's life, a nourisher of her old age. You see, God blessed Ruth so much that her life became a blessing to Naomi. She tagged along with Naomi to go with her God, and Naomi is like, wow, my ever God, I brought this little girl along. Because she blessed Naomi so much. Here's my question to you. Wouldn't you like to be blessed so much by the Lord through trusting Him that your life would become a blessing to somebody else? You know, we have become so selfish in our society that we want all the blessings and we're always concerned about ourselves in the middle of this world and universe. God wants to bless you when you trust Him and walk uprightly so you can be a blessing to somebody else, as Ruth was to Naomi. Don't be discouraged by your current circumstances. Be encouraged in your current circumstances because you have a God you can trust. And you have a God who will not withhold any good thing to them that walk uprightly. Listen, we'd bring this whole thing to a conclusion. Ruth had a good family in Naomi. Good direction from the Lord, good friends with whom to glean, good protection from the Lord, and good provision from God and those that God put in her path. Listen, you concentrate on trusting God. You concentrate on walking uprightly and let Him concentrate on the good things you need. Because he knows just what they are. He knows just what to give, when to give them to you. Right now, I'd ask you this question. Is a nice steak, tender steak, medium rare, is that a good thing? I'm listening to the vegetarian and the others. So, no, that's not a good thing. It's a good thing. Not good for you, but it's good for us. How about a good old butternut squash? That a good thing? How about some of Bobby's Tuscan soup? That a good thing? Try feeding all that to a baby. That wouldn't be a good thing, would it? Listen. Sometimes a good thing is a good thing for you when you are ready to receive it. And if you get it before you're ready to receive it, it's not a good thing. It can hurt you. And God is the only one I know who knows when a good thing for you, when it's a time for you to have the good thing He wants to give you. I think the counsel that Naomi gave was good. Sit still, my daughter, until thou know how the matter will fall. Trust God. Concentrate on that. Walk uprightly. Concentrate on that. Let Him concentrate on the good things you need and the timing of giving you those good things when He knows you need them. And you know something? Your life will be blessed. Blessed is the man that trusteth in Thee. Amen. Father, thank You so much today for the opportunity to see a blessed life of a person trusting in You. Help us to learn by this and live by this for Jesus' sake. Amen. Amen.